There you go. Today we're talking about the larger story again, as we will for the next little bit. And we're talking about the larger story, and we are in the, here comes Jeremy, he's a big helper all the time. In this larger story, the way we're going to do it, it has five movements, okay? Everybody with me on this? Five movements, and it's important because in these movements, we find our story. We'll find it every week. Last week, we discussed how we were created for love, but this is part of the creation story. And so here behind me is this timeline. And in the timeline, this is important here, right? I'm going to get this correctly because sometimes I point one direction and I mean the other. So this direction is eternity past. So we know that before God created the heavens and the earth, God existed. He lived with the Trinity. He was alive for eternity. This direction. And that He will live and we will live with Him for eternity future. This direction. See? And we're right here now on the creation. We're talking about the creation, and we're going to be in the creation for a couple more Sundays talking about the creation. But last week, in the creation story, there were five parts of it, or there's several parts of it. We're going to talk about power and love and purpose and goodness. Last week, we focused on love and then how we are made for relationship. We're made to be in community, like families, like churches. We're supposed to live with others. God said, it's good, everything's good, but not for man to be alone. Not good there. And Sarah Metter helped us a lot. If you were here or you saw this online, you remember Sarah's story. It was a powerful story. As she told and reminded us that the Bible itself is a love story. And it's from beginning to end. And she talked about her journey reading from Genesis all through to Revelation, all in that 1 week and a half time period, reading every day because she needed a word from God. And the words she got from God was, I love you. And so that's good. And so it emphasizes when you get that, then you get these other kinds of verses that are important too. Some of you would know this verse, and I'm going to look it up. So I read it straight out of the Bible here, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And a lot of times, verses in the Bible become sayings that people will say, of wise sayings, like, to go the extra mile, or to turn the other cheek, or to be the good Samaritan. All these phrases come from Bible teaching. This one does too. So this is from Ecclesiastes, and not a lot of us read Ecclesiastes every day. Probably Art does, but here's what this is. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor, and if they fall down, they can help each other up. But pity on those who have no one to help them up. When two lie down together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though they may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We're made to be in partnership, in relationship with each other. So that's what we kind of hit on last week. This week, we're going to head up a little bit different direction, even though it will have some of the same feeling and same vibe, because I'm telling you, running through all of the creation stories, this idea that we're made in the image of God. Jeremy's going to really focus on just that idea next week, the image of God. But you're going to hear it popping up in all the teachings about creation. And so we're going to talk about kind of what's our purpose, or even maybe better yet, what's our assignment? What are we doing? What are we doing here? And we all have maybe one general assignment to give God glory and honor, but maybe we have special assignments. Sometimes we do. We come in like that. Back in the praise band, Beth plays the keyboard. And so, Danny doesn't play the keyboard. And so it's good for Beth. She has an assignment here. Now, Steve, we found out this week, he's versatile. He jumped into playing, the bass. And wow, who knew? And so we got the versatility in this, but we have assignments. And so in the creation, we find perhaps our assignment. There's clues in it. What are we supposed to be doing? And so the way I'm going to ask about it is this. What are we supposed to do? Do we have an assignment? What is it? And for me, I'm going to say, what's my job? Now, I have not, most of my life, when I've been a speaker or teacher, I've not had titles to my lessons. But after coming here for just a while, I've decided it's kind of fun to title your sermon something. And so this one is called, That's My Job. So I want y'all to say that back to me.
That's my job.
That's my job. What's your job? You're going to find out. That's why you showed up today, to find out your assignment. God has one for you, and we find it in the creation story. What's my assignment? Well, in the beginning, God created, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And then we get to this point where he's going to say, let us make human beings, let us make man in our own image so that they may rule over the fish and the birds and the livestock and the wild animals. We're created to be rulers. Now, the word rule is this Hebrew word radah. And you know I'm kind of stuck on Hebrew words. And it's the one that's translated rule. But if you look in many other translations, and one of the things I like, you know, I like paper Bibles. I'm a big paper Bible fan. When I mean paper Bible, you know, I mean a book. Like, hardback is my favorite. But I'm coming around to my Bible right here. How many of you got a Bible right here? Yeah, you got a Bible right here. Well, when you got a Bible right here, you also have the advantage of being able to look at different versions of the Bible rather quickly. And so here are some of the words that this word radah, that NIV translates rule, are this. It means to have dominion over, to reign over, to take charge, to be responsible. You know, being in charge makes us responsible. You ever thought about that? When you're in charge, you're responsible. Genesis 2. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to what? Take care of it. We're responsible. Rulers and those who have dominion over others, radah, who have dominion, they're responsible for what and who they rule. So I was a football coach for a long time. And many football coaches, you're going to hear say this, especially when they lose. They're going to say, I didn't do a good job of getting my team prepared. Have you ever heard football coaches say this? Yeah, because they know it's their responsibility to have their team prepared. They're in charge of their team. They are the ruler of their team and their responsibility. And not only that, but as when I was a coach, I also felt very responsible for the way my players conducted themselves, like when we'd go eat before a game at a restaurant, or how we'd walk onto the field, how we spoke, how we did in our classroom. I was partly responsible. Now, the players, they were ultimately responsible also for their own actions, but I'm the coach. I'm in charge. I know this because Sally's a teacher. My sister's a third grade teacher, and in third grade, they have tests. And they come along, and there are these big tests called Star test, yeah. Who knows that better than a kid, right, in school? Right. But sometimes the teachers think, this is my job. How did my kids do on the test? We feel responsible, right? And this is put in us in creation. Because we're in charge of something, we're also supposed to take care of it. We're responsible for it. Now, God, knowing that He made us to be in charge and to be responsible, that sometimes we'd need some instructions about what to do. And one of the first things, well, first of all, he says, right, I'm going to put you in charge of the garden, so you're going to do what with it? take care of it. But men don't do that very well, so he had to make some rules about it. And so one of the rules he made about it was called the Sabbath year. He ordered the Sabbath year so that human beings would take care of the earth. Now, the Sabbath year is in Exodus, it's in Leviticus, it's referenced in Deuteronomy. And what it was is every seventh year, you're supposed to let you're not going to plant any crops. Why? To take care of the earth. It's to let the earth rest. And God promised, I'm going to give you enough harvest in the sixth year to take care of the seventh year, but you need to let the land rest. Now, he was saying that to a, farmer agricultural culture. And so, I don't think anybody in this congregation are farmers. Do we have any farmers? Any ex-farmers? Anybody who used to live on the farm? There you go. We got a couple. We got three. Now we're going. We have gotten up early and watered and moved the water, turned on the irrigation, milked the cow. Anybody's milked the cow? No, none of us. Oh, yeah, Kevin did. But what we got to think about, though, okay, we have this instruction to take care of the earth. God said, let's let the land rest. What is it that we could carry over into our lives to take care of the earth? I want you to think about that just for a second. You're in charge of the earth, the planet. God has given it to you to rule, to have dominion over. How do you take care of it? Don't you think that we should think about that? Yes, as rulers, it's part of our job. What's my job? Take care of the earth is one of my jobs. But that's not all. He gave us instructions about how to treat each other. And one way is that those who have more would treat those who don't have enough. He would give instructions about how they should treat each other. And specifically, these instructions were about lending money, about canceling debts, and about setting indentured servants free. It is about how do we treat the poor, how do we treat others when we have more and they have not enough. In the system of the day, what an indentured servant was, it's like I can't pay my bills. And so I can't buy seed for my crops. And so I have, though, a child, and I'm going to call him Lucas today. And so my child Lucas here, I can rent him out. Yeah, it's a rough system. It's a rough system here. And I'm going to rent him out to Steve and Michelle because they need workers. And he has to go work for them. And they give me the money to pay my rent or to buy my seeds. And now from now on, he belongs to them. He belongs to them. Now, God had instructions about every so often, again, 7 years, no matter how much you've paid back of the debt, you got to set the boy free, right? You got to set the boy free, even if I haven't even paid all my debt back, right? This was the instructions to set, because those who have more than enough need to help those who don't have enough. This is the principle. And I think in our system in America, there are ways where some people are stuck, and I'm calling stuck in poverty. They need help. Sometimes it's about education. Sometimes it's about a job. Sometimes it's something more than minimum wage. And so whose responsibility is that? It's us, because we're the rulers. We're the ones who are in charge. And sometimes this happens on a personal level, that I'm going to personally be responsible for how I do business with others, but sometimes it's on a systematic level, and there's laws that are enforced or that can be that are going to help out. One of the things that we have discussed in here before is like payday loans and the danger of payday loans. And, we're pretty anti-payday loans in our group here, but this is part of how are you responsible if you're one of the rulers? And I am, because God said, I'm going to make human beings, all of us, in our own image, and it's their responsibility to take care of each other. Rulers have the assignment, especially, to take care of those who are most vulnerable. In their culture, and not that different in ours, widows and orphans and foreigners were often mistreated. God's instructions to the rulers are clear. Who are the rulers?
We are.
Yeah, that's it. So who's it? Was that you, Lucas? Oh. Well, it runs in the family. Yeah, we're the rulers. Who are the rulers? We are. But why? Because God put us in charge of the earth. And He gave us a job, and that's to take care of it and also to take care of others. So we're to take care of these vulnerable groups. They fall under our protection. God defines our role as rulers in how we use our resources to benefit others. I want you to think about your resources. What are your resources? Some of us, we have different kinds of resources, don't we? And our resources, the things we've been given and to manage, are for the purpose of being good rulers. Well, I'll tell you one way that some people, and they're not here today, so good. We'll talk about them behind their back. Art and Betty have a house. In their house, they've asked Bob if he wants to come stay, if he needs a place to stay. They have a resource. It's a house. I went over. There's a house, and not only did they have a room, they had a bed in the room. Yeah, for me. This is awesome. They're using their resources to bless others, right? I would say this about Jeanette. Jeanette has time and talent. So on Wednesday nights, what does she do? She uses her resources, her time and talent, to bless others. You too. We all in the room have certain resources. And what are they for? They're for to take care of each other. That's what it means to be created in the image of God. And He says, we're going to make them rulers. They're going to have dominion. They're going to be in charge. They're going to have responsibility. His command was also that we be generous and hospitable. This is especially true of the rich. In 1 Timothy 6, he calls them the rich. But I want to think about that term, the rich. Who might be the rich? Now, one of the things, you look around the room, and we would say, well, probably not me. Who's rich? Well, there's maybe somebody's rich. I don't know. Isaac, right here on the front row, he might be rich. I don't think Isaac's rich, but maybe. But in reality, aren't we all? Aren't we all? This is a lesson from Jesus' life. He's standing at the temple, and He's with His disciples. And what's going on is people are making contributions in the collection plate of their day. And a widow comes, and she gives all she has, 2 mites, just 2 cents, just $2. She just gives a little. She has something, though. All of us have something to give. Well, who to give to? Well, to others. Here's the example. It's widows who help other widows. Huh? All of us at times are the needy. Sometimes I am the needy. And you know what I need? It's not maybe money, but it's maybe some time that maybe you would listen to me. That you would speak with me. That I could have somebody to talk to. And I want to manage my time because that's a resource I have that I'm available for you. One of the things I do, I also have time to manage, is I'm praying. You know, one of the things I do is I pray, and I pray for, well, all of you in here. I just met Isaac last week, so he just made it to the prayer list. Hopefully you had a pretty good week. I don't know if it turned out good or not. Sometimes the person I'm praying for doesn't do well. And so I sometimes wonder, maybe I should give my prayer card to somebody else, because right now I'm not doing too well. Walters is my, I pray for him every day. I've got a card with his name on it. And once I got the card, the dude was off and on in the hospital all the time. I'm thinking, I'm sorry, Lucas, I'm doing the best I can. But I have time. One of the things I want to do with the resource of time is manage my time, because I'm responsible for you. I'm responsible for you, not just because I stand up and preach, but because we are engaged in a life together. God has put me here. He's put me with you. He's made me a person who is a ruler. I have dominion. I have responsibility. And part of my responsibility is for you. I'm rich. I'm rich in money. And in 1 Timothy 6, this is what Paul was talking about. He was talking about money. And he was saying that the wealthy ought to share. This is what they need to do with their wealth. Share it. And they'll be blessed when they do. But there's things we have, there's resources we have beyond that, that we also need to use, that we need to use. Why? Because we're made in God's image, and we have dominion over the earth, and we're responsible. We're responsible for things, how it goes. Here's God. He instructs us to care for the needy. And this is the way I'm looking at it. And so we're made in His image. And He cares for the needy. I'm going to read to you Psalm. Well, the Psalms are beautiful, right? One of the greatest cries from the psalmist is that God would come and care for the needy. And one of the responses in the Psalms is that God, He does. So here's Psalm 72. Psalm 72. And these kind of words are all throughout the Psalms. This is Psalm 72, and I'm starting verse 12. For God will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take care of the weak and the needy, and He'll save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in His sight. So this only makes sense. God takes care of the needy. I'm made in His image. I take care of the needy, which also makes sense. Then Jesus is going to say, you know what? When you take care of the needy, Matthew 25, you are taking care of me. Whatever you do to the least of these, to the ones who are the needy, you're doing to me. Where does Jesus, this comes from the very creation story. The first man was created. The first human being, Adam, was created to take care of the other one, Eve. And in one of the most crucial moments, he didn't. We're going to talk about that next month, about the rebellion and the fall. But his responsibility, woo, if he'd have stepped in, what if he stepped in at that moment when Eve was being tempted by the serpent? And Adam would have said, hey, Eve, don't do that. We're responsible for each other because we're rulers. We have dominion. Finally, 1 John. We as rulers are created to lay down our lives for each other. It's our responsibility to love each other with actions. Read again from 1 John chapter 3. This is how we know what love is. This is 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. As we ought to, wow, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in you? Dear children, let's love not with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. We're made in His image. We are rulers, and we're created to lay down our lives for each other. It's our responsibility to love each other with action. Last week about this time, things were going crazy because the shooting in Las Vegas. During that time, what we had is many heroes stepped up, right? You know some of the stories of some of those men and women who literally died so someone else could live. There's some great stories of heroism, of a person who would lay down on another person, and there were some people who laid down on others who actually did get shot, and the one under them was saved, and they were. There was the man who helped 30 people find a place, and he was shot twice, and then the story of the policeman who came and saved him. A lot of heroic stories where we really did have someone. And why would someone do that? You know why? It's their responsibility. I'm responsible to love you with actions, to even lay down my life for you. Some of you do that for your children in this room. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Jessica would lay down on top of any of her daughters and take a bullet for them. And that's one way you lay down, but there's another ways. And I see it in this church all the time, you laying down your lives for each other. But my hero, the one, I'm going to come back to that, is this guy. It's my dad. My dad's standing there with a boy named Jalen, who he met when he was 10. Jalen's now 14. Dad baptized Jalen. Jalen comes from, the wrong side of town in Abilene. Dad has been with Jalen in his home, taken him to school, has gone up and visited with his teachers. He's done everything that a parent or grandfather would have done. You probably noticed by the picture that Jalen's not my dad's biological grandson, but he has, in some ways, adopted. He's laid down his life for this boy. He's laid down his life. He's loved in action. Why does he do that? Because God created him. And when God created my dad, he says, let's make Jerry Strader in our own image. And let's put him in charge. And because he's going to be in charge, he's going to be responsible. And right now, my dad feels totally responsible for this little boy. And no matter what mom or I say, that's not your job. He said, yeah, it's my job. I need this boy to make sure he gets a fair chance at school, that he has a fair chance. Dad and Jalen are totally, completely planning on Jalen going to the Air Force Academy. I don't know why he's not going to go to West Point, but that's okay. Jalen wants to be a pilot. Now, is Jalen going to make it to the Air Force Academy? I don't know. But my dad feels responsible. Why should he? Well, you know why? Because God has given him a role. And he's given you a role. Part of it's to take care of the earth. And part of it's to take care of each other. And the way we fulfill this role is love in action. What can we do? How do we use our resources today? I feel great about living and being in a room with a bunch of heroes. And we're going to sing How Great Is Our God. But as we do, I want you to think about this too. In it this way, God has made us in his own image. What does it mean when we sing about our great God? He's made you also for greatness. He's not made you for less. He's made you for more. And so when we're singing about our great God, we're singing also about the great God who created us in his own image.